All right, today's daf is daf Samech Ches. Okay. We're in the sixth parak of Menachos. We're discussing the mitzvah of Havas Om. We're bringing the Karban Om. The Karban Om is brought on the second day of Pesach. It's made up of barley. It's made up of an Isaron of barley. Everything that's done to a normal mincha is done with this, with the inclusion of the mitzvahs of Tenufa and Hagasha. We'll talk more about that later today. And we've been so far discussing but for a good part of the sixth verse, we've been discussing the machlokas between the Prushim and the Baitusim. The Prushim were of the opinion that the Macharas HaShabbos means the day after Pesach, second day of Pesach. That's the time to bring the Karban Om, even though the Torah does use the word Shabbos, but Shabbos means Pesach. The Baitusim, the Tzedukim, disagree. They felt that it actually meant Shabbos itself, and we spent some time, Shabbos, we spent a lot of time talking about it, right? And we spent a considerable amount of time talking about the understanding of the Masorah, the Torah Shabbat that we have. We talked a little bit about. We spent Samech Vav. We spent some time discussing the idea of what happens with the leftover of the Omer, meaning that after you sift, you end up with only one Isaron. You start up with three Sas. So what do you do with the remainder? We talked about that, led us to a discussion of the mitzvahs of Trumos and Maestros, that by a produce that's owned by Hekdesh, and that took us through yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf, Samech Vav, Samech Zayin, talked about produce that's owned by Hekdesh. Produce that's owned by Hekdesh fundamentally is potter from Trumos and Maestros. The mitzvah of Trumos and Maestros is only on an individual, only on a private person, but on the base of Mikdash, there is no mitzvah of Trumos and Maestros as long as the chi of the obligation started in the base of Mikdash. So then there is no obligation that gets an actual exemption. It took us then to a discussion of produce owned by a non-Jew, whether or not there's a mitzvah of Trumos and Maestros of produce owned by a non-Jew. We talked yesterday a little bit about tax shelters, meaning using non-Jew as a possible tax shelter to try to get away from the mitzvah of Trumos and Maestros. The Gemara yesterday said the rabbis are a little bit smarter than that. They made a gzera derabbanan, they made a rabbinic decree, so that even when you buy produce from a guy, midrabbanan, you have to take off Trumos and Maestros, so that you don't have that opportunity to benefit from the non-Jew and using them as a tax shelter to try to get away from the mitzvah of Shumas and Maestros. Okay. That was Samech Zayin. Okay, today's daf is daf Samech Ches. And we start with the Mishnah. When the Mishnah on Samech Zayin on days, Balo L'Isaron. Okay, so you can finally, we are now going to spend time talking about the actual Omer itself, the Karban Omer itself. A lot of the periphery stuff we've been discussing, which has been great discussions, but now the actual Omer itself. So now you have the refined flour, the sifted flour. You have one Isaron, Nasanov Shmano, Levanto. So then you do what you normally do with a mincha. You pour oil on it, you put Lavona on it. Now oil, let me just read a little bit more and then I'll make the point. Yatsak Uvalo. You do Yitzika, you pour oil on it again, and you do Belila, and you mix it together. Okay, remember, we're going to talk about this later on as well. We touched on this earlier. Standard procedure for the making of a mincha. A mincha's primary ingredients are oil and flour. Yes, there's water that's put in, but water is not a specific amount. Torah doesn't give us a specific amount of water, but there's oil and flour. The process is, the procedure is, first oil, then flour, and then oil again. That's second placement of oil. That's called Yitzika. Okay? So that's what you're reading in the Mishnah. Nasan lav shmano, levonto. You put in oil, you put in lavona, you do Yitzika, you pour oil in again. Belila, you mix it together. Now, lavona seems to be a little bit out.
On this side, though, right?
Yeah, lavona seems to be a little bit out of order over here because lavona is only sprinkled on the top and then taken off. Okay. Hainif, you do tenufa, you wave it. Karban Omer, as we talked about just a short couple days ago, is one of the menachas that require tenufa, that require waving. Hagasha, you need to do the mitzvah of Hagasha. That's the mitzvah of simply bringing the Omer over to the Mizbech, touching the Omer to the Mizbech. Kemitza, our good old Kemitza. Kohen takes his fist, puts it into the Omer, takes out a fistful of the mincha, vihikter, and he burns it. He burns the chametz. What happens now with the remainder of the mincha? The remainder of it is eaten by the Kohanim. This is a regular mincha. I mean, as regular as it can get. Mishakarav HaOmer. Okay, good. Now the Omer is brought. Second day of Pesach, first day of Chol HaMoed. Right, the Omer, the carbon Omer is brought. Mishikara of HaOmer, once the Omer is brought, Yotzin Umotzin Shuke Yerushalayim Shu Male Kemach Kali. The city of Yerushalayim was filled with grains, toasted grains. Shalom Beratzon Chachamim Divrei Meir. Now, we'll get to whether or not the Chachamim gave their approval or not. But in other words, just before we get to the last point of the Mishnah, understand, once the Omer is brought, now you can eat the new grains. The new grains are no longer considered new, they're considered old. Right? One of the things which we will be discussing over the course of today's daf is the Isser of Chadash. You're not allowed to eat any grains, any new grains that grow over the course of the year until Pesach. Pesach now allows you to eat those grains. Before the second day of Pesach, it's called Chadash, it's called new grains. New grains are simply any grains that were harvested or not even harvested yet. As long as they were growing in the field, so they have the status of Chadash. That's Chadash is Asur min HaTorah. It's a biblical prohibition to eat Chadash. What about Chadash outside of Eretz Yisrael? Part of today's discussion. We'll talk more about that later on this morning. But you're not allowed to eat Chadash. So the...
When does a new birth or a new Chadash start?
Huh?
After they bring the Omer, when does a new batch of Chadash start counting?
And now from that point, there's no counting over here, meaning...
Not counting, but what is considered Chadash? As of when is considered Chadash?
As of when anything that grows... Wheat is a six-month process. The growing of wheat, from the time that you plant the seed to the time that the wheat actually grows, is 6 months.
Okay.
So if the seed is planted, let's say right before the second day of Pesach, that's nothing. There has to be...
Anything that's planted after the Omer is brought is considered Chadash again?
Right.
So
correct.
The next, as soon as they plant a week from then, it's Chadash.
Planting does not make it Chadash. It has to be Mashrish. It has to actually take root. But once it's taken root, so that's it now. Now it's Chadash.
So what is Yashan?
Yashan now means any grains that... Any grain... Wait 1 second. Yashan is any grains that are after the second day of Pesach. After the second day of Pesach, those grains, it's the same grains. Those grains before Pesach, before the second day of Pesach was Chadash. After the second day of Pesach, now are Yashan. Now what we're going to do over the course of today's daf is we're going to pinpoint exactly that transition makes. When is it transition from Chadash to Yashan? Ostensibly, the simplest pshat, which we're going to entertain for a while, is Havas Omer, the bringing of the Karban Omer. Meaning the Karban Omer is the Matir. That is what now makes that transition, that change from Chadash to Yashan.
So any reaped grains prior to the Omer are not...
Are prohibited. Absolutely prohibited.
So they were worried. How did they get to so much grain?
Right.
So now, okay. Now that you see all that, now we can go back to the Mishnah. So now in the Mishnah, what just happened? So what just happened is you could give a great analogy. It's the bar mitzvah on Saturday night. For those of you who did make a bar mitzvah on Saturday night, but in other words, all of a sudden, like right after Shabbos, like everything appeared. How did everything get here? Okay, let's not ask too many questions. But the grains, meaning so the Omer was brought, and all of a sudden the markets of Yerushalayim were filled with grains. Okay, now that means, okay, between us friends, so that means that the grains were harvested already well before this point in time. No way. The city of Yerushalayim had grains readily available and accessible for everybody to buy. Unless it was harvested beforehand. So you'll say to me, so what's the big deal? So they harvested beforehand. The Isser is an Isser Achila. You're allowed to harvest. You're not allowed to eat the grains before the second day of Pesach. What's the big deal? So you'll see the Machlokas and the Mishnah. That issue of is this a big deal or is this not a big deal is exactly the issue of the Mishnah. So let me read it again. So Mishakar Va'omer, once the Omer is brought, Yotzi Motzi and Shoki Yerushalayim Shu Male Kemach Kali. So the city of Yerushalayim was filled with toasted grains. By the way, just keep all this in mind. We're on Pesach now. This is Pesach, right? Roasted grains. But it's not chametz, because chametz is only flour and water. Right? Flour would terrify any one of us on Pesach, because we're just so used to the idea that you don't have flour on Pesach. You have matzah, but you don't have flour. There's nothing wrong with flour in of itself. There's nothing wrong with wheat in of itself. Wheat is fine. It's just wheat and water. That's the issue. So they was filled with toasted grains. Shelob Ratzon Chacham Divrei Meir. Rav Meir says this practice did not receive the stamp of approval of the Chachamim. Chachamim were not happy. Why? Simple reason. Because they must have harvested it beforehand. And Rav Meir says, if you're harvesting all that grain beforehand and you're collecting it, the chances are you're going to eat it. Right, there's a good chance they're going to eat it. So the Rav Meir's position is, should not harvest, collect, gather, and process all these grains before the armor is brought. Okay? So shelo beratzon chachamim.
It was toasted also.
Okay. Oh, not these grains. No, not these grains. Only the grains that were specifically earmarked for the carbon. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Baratzon Chachamim Hayu Osen. And Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says Baratzon Chachamim was fine, totally under rabbinic supervision, rabbinic approval. The Chachamim were happy with this practice. Okay. Now Rabbi Yehuda is, in other words, what's Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda is very simple. It's only in Isser Achila. You're not allowed to eat it, but no one's eating. Everyone's harvesting. Everyone's gathering. We're getting ready for the moment where the Omer is brought. Once the Omer is brought, so now everyone will sell on the marketplace on the second day of Pesach. Okay. V'lo gazer Rav Yehuda d'oma asi l'mecha minei. So it comes out from our Mishnah, meaning the Gemara is just going to pick up on the last point of the Mishnah. It comes out from the Mishnah that Rav Yehuda does not make a gzera. Okay. But the problem is, a Mishnah p'sachim. The Reminu, the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? Psachim, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Botkin, or Arbasar, Uva Arbasar, Shachers, Vishasa, Biur. Okay, so Rabbi Yehuda's position is, you do a Bedika. Now, the best time to do the Bedika is the night before Pesach. Right? Bedika is Chametz. Right? Now, to have Chametz on Pesach, you got to do an examination. The Bedika is instituted by the Chachamim, so that you don't have any Chametz on your property. You don't really need to do a bedika. Minatara bito ba'ama, you just simply are mevata the chametz in your house and that would be sufficient. But the Chachamim said search and destroy. You're on a mission, night before Pesach, search and destroy. So Omer Botkin or Arba Asar. So you do a bedika on the night of the 14th. Good. Uve Arba Asar, and on the 14th. Now, I use the word and, it's not the right conjunction. The right conjunction is or.
You forget.
Right. Or if you forget on the night, so then you do it the next day. Uvar Barasar Shacharis. Next morning you should do a bidika. Uvishah Sabir, and during the 6 hours. 6 hour of the day, when there's a mitzvah now to be mevar, to actually do biur, so do it there as well. Okay? So that is all Shitas Rav Yehuda. What about after the 6 hour? Don't do a bidika anymore. Meaning, according to Rav Yehuda, that's it. If you did not do it the night prior, if you didn't do it the morning of, if you didn't do it Shas Bir, which is a 6 hour, if you didn't use any of those opportunities to do Bedika, don't do it anymore. Why not? Because Rav Yehuda is afraid.
Right.
He's concerned that if we go out, let's say first day of Pesach, or first day of Chol HaMoed,
right.
Oh, I totally forgot to do Bedika, my head was in the clouds. Okay? It happens. So I don't know how often with Bedikas Chametz, but it happens. Or he was an Ones, or whatever the case is. And he didn't do it. Rav Yehuda says, don't do it on Pesach, because you know what may happen? You may find it. And then, you may find it, and you'll look at it, and you'll be like, it's exciting. So Rav Yehuda says, do not search. So you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's afraid, he's concerned that we're going to be eating it if we're going to be handling it. So it's a question. Now, all of us should have answers in our mind. Okay, we'll get to answers in just a moment. But it's a question. Rabbi Yehuda, by Psachim, says, don't search for Chametz on Pesach for fear that you may find it and eat it. Meanwhile, by the Yisr Chadash, Rav Yehuda gave his stamp of approval. He gave his gushpanka. It's fine. You can go ahead. You can harvest the new grains and don't worry. No one's going to eat it. He's not concerned. So that's somewhat of a problem. And then let's make a second problem before we get to resolutions. The Chachamim Amrim Lo Badak. And the Chachamim says, no, if you didn't check the night of, if you didn't check the morning of, so you'll check on Chol HaMoed, it's fine, you'll do a Bedika, and it's fine. And that's also a problem, because the Chachamim over there are not concerned, when meanwhile, our Chachamim in our Mishnah, now our Chachamim is called Rabbi Meir, But it's okay. We'll call Rabbi Meir the Chachamim. Our Chacham and our Mishnah says we are concerned about eating. So there really is two issues that we need to resolve: the discrepancy between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, and the discrepancy of Rav Meir of our Mishnah and the Chachamim of the Mishnah Pesachim.
But in a sense, can't you be bothered?
Yeah, correct, absolutely.
There's nothing to worry about, really, in a sense.
Correct, but there is this mitzvah of bedika, and you forgot to do it on the night of. Okay, so Amar Rabba. So answer number one: Shani Chadash mitoch shelo hitarta lo ella al yedei kitov zacharhu. So answer number one, proposal number one of the Gemara. Rabba says, look, when we harvest grains before Pesach. Okay, we're now talking about the Isra of Chadash. So harvesting with a sickle and using and harvesting the standard way is not allowed. In other words, how do you harvest beforehand? What the Gemara here refers to as Kituv. Kituv Rashi says, you do it with your hands. You harvest with your hands. It is not a pleasant way to harvest. It is certainly not an efficient way to harvest. But before Pesach, that's how you have to harvest. So in other words, there's a built-in memory aid. You're harvesting it by hand. It's just, you're going to remember every single time. Why am I not using a sickle? Oh, because it's Chadash and I can't eat it. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, so that's why in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned about eating. Because when you're harvesting, you're doing it by hand. So there's a built-in memory aid. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abai Tenech Kitzira. Good. So that helps you at the time of harvesting. But when you grind it, tchina, or when you sift it, harkada, ma'ikal amimah, so what are you going to say? Meaning, at that point in time, harvesting is all well done, and now you're grinding it, and you're looking at the flour, and you're saying to yourself, this is delicious. And then you're sifting it, and you're further looking at the flour, and you're saying, this is delicious. What's going to prevent you from just simply enjoying some of the wheat at that point in time? Halokashia, tchina berchadiyada, harkada gabe napa. So the Gemara says, okay, shinuyim have to be done with these things as well. When you grind it by hand. You can't use your grinder that's turned by the water mill. That's how Rashi explains it. You have to use the grinder by hand. And number two, when it comes to harkada, you have to turn the sift over, the sieve over, and you got to do a harkada with a shinui, with a little bit of a change. So in other words, there are built-in reminders that take you over every step of the way. So,
during Pesach? Or,
This is any time before Pesach. Any time before Pesach. I mean, this is just the process of harvesting, grinding, and sifting before Pesach.
So
the Gemara's going to ask that. Beis HaShlachim Deshaya Kitzira Dinan. So the Gemara says, okay, but even all these precautions and all these built-in memory aids are not going to be that helpful because Mishnah's coming up, and the Mishnah tells us that when you have Beis HaShlachim, fields that are irrigated not by rain, but by some sort of canal, some sort of river or water source. These are Beis HaShlachim. These are inferior fields. Okay, the Beis HaShlachim. Rashi points out, Rashi does give two explanations, but we're going to go with Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, he himself prefers. Rashi's second explanation over here is that these fields, which are inferior, were not going to be used to bring the carbon omer. Right, the Shluchei Basin, the members of Basin, are not going to go here to the Beis HaShlachim in order to get grains for the field. So in other words, they're simply disqualified. They're not going to be used for the Omer. So you know what? You can harvest. You're allowed to harvest on these fields. Regular harvesting with a sickle. And you can go through the whole process. So the Gemara says now, according to you, Rabba, you want to give an answer for Rabbi Yehuda. Why isn't Rabbi Yehuda concerned? The answer is, well, because there's built-in memory aids. Not by the Beis HaShlachim. Beis HaShlachim is harvested regularly. Kotzen Beis HaShlachim Sheba Amakim. Avalo Goshim. You could do Kitzira. Now you can't do Gedisha. Gedisha with a Dalet. Gedisha is piling it up, stacking it up. That you can't do. But still you're harvesting it like you regularly do. So Michael Amir, so what are you going to say? So the Gemara seems to be not enthused by Rabba's answer. So Elam Rabbaye, so the Gemara is going to give now another answer, and it's more fundamental. There, it really touches on a more fundamental point and distinction between the Isser of Chadash and the Isser of Chametz. So the Gemara says like this, Am Rabbaye, Chadash Badomine. People know how to stay away from Chadash. Why do people know? It's very simple, right? We are creatures of habit, all of us. Okay, and what's going to happen is that up until Pesach, all the new grains in the field, we all know you can't eat it. Now, I know that I sit in a room full of people who don't know because we're so not used to this Isser of Chadash. But had we live in Eretz Yisrael and we were living in a more agricultural society, and all we've been doing this season, this wheat season, is saying to ourselves and to each other, it's Chadash, we don't eat it. We're not allowed to eat it until the second day of Pesach. So we're trained now, right? We are totally in touch with the idea that it's Aser. And it continues to be Aser. And we're not allowed to eat until the second day of Pesach. So you can, this is all Lefi Rabbi Yehuda. You can harvest it, and you can grind it, and you can prepare it, and you could toast it, and you could do all the things with it, because we all know it's Chadash, and it will be permitted come second day of Pesach. Chametz, on the other hand, is the exact opposite. What have we been doing the whole year? Eating chametz, enjoying chametz. So now Pesach comes around, and all of a sudden we have to flip the switch. We have to transition from chametz being mutter to chametz being aser. Yeah, but habitually speaking, we've been eating it all year round. So chametz lo badal minein. But when it comes to chametz, people are just so used to eating it that if I search out chametz on Pesach itself and I find chametz, out of habit, not for any malicious intent, just simply out of habit, you're going to eat the chametz. That's the difference between chadash and chametz. Okay, good.
It doesn't make really sense because you're searching for it. Why are you searching for it?
Okay, good. That's
not enough to eat it.
Good. That's next. That's the next point of the Gemara. Amar Rava Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda Kasha Rabbanan Rabbanan Lo Kasha El Amar Rava Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda Lo Kasha. So Rava is just going to compliment his chavrus Abaye. Meaning, as far as the steer between Rabbi Yehuda unto Rabbi Yehuda Kiddushaninan. Good. We'll go with the answer that we just proposed. Beautiful. Derabbanan, Derabbanan Lo Kasha. What about the steer between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham, which the Gemara is assuming is one and the same? Meaning that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, Shalobar of Son of Chachamim. Chachamim, we're not happy. Don't harvest the Chadash. Don't stockpile it. Don't get it ready for the second day of Pesach. You shouldn't do it. We're afraid people are going to eat it. Meanwhile, the Mishnah Psachim says you could do Bedikah. Do Bedikah on Erev Pesach. If you forgot, do it the morning of. If you forgot, do it B'Shas Biur. If you forgot, do Bedikah even on Pesach itself. And he's not afraid that people are going to eat it. So the Gemara's answer is exactly what Phil said. You're on a search and destroy mission. Right? You're told on Pesach, you're told before Pesach, do Bedikah. But you forgot. Or you were detained. So now on Pesach itself, I'm not worried about you're going to eat it. You're on a search and destroy mission. You're looking for it. You're hunting it down. Of course, when you find it, your goal now is to destroy it. Okay, so that's and that's true by chametz. That's obviously not true by chadash. Chadash, you're not on a search and destroy mission. Chadash, you're looking forward to eating it. And Rav Meir is worried that you may eat it just slightly prematurely. Okay, good. We have now a good approach. Through the combination of Rav and Abaye, the Gemara has now provided us a good approach at how to understand the difference between chametz and chadash. They're both of them are aser. Why? By one, we're worried they're going to eat it. By the other, we're not worried we're going to eat it. We do have svaras going in either direction, but at least we can somehow explain Rav Yehuda's thought process and Rav Meir's thought process. The Gemara would like to maybe suggest another resolution to the problem. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Yehuda, Ad Rav Yehuda, Lo Kasha, Kemach Tali, Tanan. Our Mishnah, which according to Rav Yehuda is not concerned about eating it, is talking about where it's toasted. Now, I always thought that toasted means it's good, meaning you toast it so that you can eat it. Rav Ashi is suggesting in our Mishnah that it's toasted, it's not so edible. Right, that's how Rashi explains it. Ein ru'uyin la'achila. It's not so edible once it's toasted. And so our Mishnah is talking about where it's toasted, and that's why we're not worried that people are going to eat it. This is Rav Ashi's explanation of our Mishnah. The Gemara is not excited about this answer. V'had Rav Ashi Berusahi. Rav Ashi, what he says is Berusa. Now there's two ways to read the Gemara here. One is Berusa with a resh. Now Berusa comes from the word Berah. Bara means keep it outside the base medrash. Right? Don't bring this answer into the base medrash. keep it outside the base medrash. It's not really something that we really are going to entertain. Or the other way to read it is with a dalid, bedusa. Bedusa means it was a joke. I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly, but maybe he even didn't mean it seriously. All right, but it's not a real answer. It's not a serious answer, right? Barus or bedusa. Either way, it comes to the same point. It's not the answer, right? Tenach mikalev elach ad kalimaykel amemar. Look, Gemara points out a very simple point. That's good from the time that you roasted it, but before you roasted it, it's nice, fresh grains. So obviously someone's going to eat it at that point in time. The Gemara says, well, maybe we'll go back to what we said earlier, that when you harvested, you did it with your hands and you didn't do it with a sickle, and that reminded you that you're not allowed to eat it. As Rabbah himself suggested earlier, good, but there's a whole part of Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaShlachim, the irrigated fields, where you're allowed to harvest normally. So there, what are you going to say? Elahad Ravashi Barusi. So the Gemara says, okay, Ravashi is not an answer that is to be accepted. It's not, I guess we could say, it's left outside, it's kept outside. And so the Gemara says, fine, so keep Ravashi's answer out of it. So basically, we're back to the answers of Abai and Rava. Again, our Mishnah talks about the practice of bringing out grains right after the Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. And then lo and behold, all the market is filled with grains. So according to Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim say Yeshikarach. That's great. Meaning perfect. Because now that the Omer is brought, now we're allowed to eat the grains. So good. We're happy with the streets were filled to Yerushalayim with the grains. They must have harvested beforehand, obviously. And they must have prepared it beforehand. So Rav Yehuda says, that's fine. No one's going to eat it. And the explanation of the Gemara, why are we not afraid that no one's going to eat it? Because it's Chadash. From the moment that it's planted in the ground, 6 months ago, until now, we've known that we're not allowed to eat Chadash. For the whole year, we know we're not allowed to eat Chadash. So no one's going to eat it. Masha'en came by Chametz. According to Rav Yehuda, don't do a bedika for chametz on Pesach itself if you forgot to do bedika beforehand. Why not? Because people may come and eat it. We're trained to eat chametz, not to withhold ourselves from chametz. Okay, that's the Gemara, and that's the resolution between our Mishnah and Menachos versus the Mishnah Psachim. Mishakarv HaOmer, yes, question.
They pour a new one. They have so much left of the old one. So they all sell it for
comets,
and then when do they eat that?
I'm confused. What?
The new 6 months. Before 6 months, you had so...
6 months. I only say 6 months. Six months is the time that it takes to grow. The whole year it's asr. Chadash is asr the whole year. From last Pesach to this Pesach, any grains that grew over the course of this year is asr. Don't get confused by my 6 months. 6 months is just the amount of time that it takes to grow. Mishikarav ha'omer hutar chadash miyad. Okay, so the Mishnah says from the moment that the Omer is brought, so hutar chadash miyad, so that's it. That's the switch. Now, I'm saying it so emphatically. You'll see as we go through the Gemara, I shouldn't be so emphatic about it because it's going to be subject to a debate in terms of when exactly it is. But, simple pshana Mishnah, the Omer is a matir. The Omer, once the Omer is brought, so all the grains now go through a legal transition, a legal change. It was chadash, it was new, now it's old, it's yashan. Right? Old and new, of course, are totally relative. Right? So, and here, relativity is based on the Omer. Okay.
What's a miyad?
Miyad means immediately.
I understand, but...
Okay, you'll see.
Instead of what?
Well, because...
Okay. Instead of later?
No, you'll see. The Mishnah. Harachokin. Now... You live well outside of Yerushalayim. And we go through this problem all the time, problem of communication. Right? So you live in a lot. Okay, not bad. Okay, it's a little... Okay.
Three-day camel ride, right?
You live up in the north. Okay, or let's say you live out in Bavel.
Okay,
you don't know at what point exactly the armor was brought. Okay, right when Mashiach comes, by the way, we're going to live in a new halachic world because once the armor is brought, so you can only imagine you're going to, your BlackBerry is going to start buzzing and you're going to look at it and you're going to. Omer was brought, and
there's an app for that.
I'm telling you, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a totally new halachic world. But
it's going to, but
back in the good old days, so the Rechokim, those that live far away, they had no way of knowing when exactly the Omer was brought. Mutar michatzos hayom ulahalon. Okay, by midday already, so you're good to go. Because by midday, at that point in time, you could be confident to know the Kohanim are in charge of the Beis Hamikdash over there. They're on top of the situation. They're not lazy people. The Omer was brought. So by midday already, you can now sit down with your grains on the second day of Pesach and enjoy the, not, it's no longer Chadash, but the Yasha now, the old grains.
But there's all okay. People living in the same time zone as Israel.
It's so funny. I was thinking about it. I was wondering whether I should say anything, but correct. If you're like in a different time zone, the Mishnah never accounts for time zones, but yes. We shouldn't talk about time zones, but the Mishnah, you know, Chatzos, midday.
And it's a different time zone.
Correct.
Which midday? It could be midday, but yet it's not yet.
Right, different time zones. Okay, so Michatzos Hayom Olahalan. Okay, I think right now I'm just going to ignore time zones, but it is an issue. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. Okay, that is while the Beis HaMikdash is around. Okay? Mm-hmm. We've now been 2,000 years in exile, okay, without a Beis HaMikdash. So, such a simple question. What's the matir? What now creates that transition and makes the grains chadash to yasha? Such a simple question. And now we don't have the Omer anymore, and we haven't had the Omer now for nearly 2,000 years. So what creates that transition? So, Hitkin Rav Yochanan Zakkai Shiyehe Yom Hanef Kulo Aser. Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai says that the whole day now becomes a day which is prohibited. You can't enjoy new grains until the night of the 17th. You have to wait until the whole day goes. That is now, read the words of the Mishnah carefully. Hitkin, he made a takana, he made an institution. It sounds like from the Mishnah that may ikar a din according to the strict letter of the law, you can eat it earlier in the day. At what point earlier in the day, we don't know yet. But you can eat it earlier in the day. But Rav Yochanan says, as a gzeira de rabbanan, you're going to have to wait until the night of the 17th. You have to wait till the day of the 16th comes and goes. Okay, I'll come back. We'll discuss that later. By the way, it's interesting. He calls the 16th day the Yom Hanef, the day of waving. Right? Describe the second day of Pesach with a lot of things. Wouldn't our first descriptive term of it, I don't think, would be Yom Hanef. He calls it Yom Hanef simply because the Omer goes through the process of Tenufa.
Right.
So, it's interesting. He describes the Omer as the Yom Hanef, the day of waving, because of the mitzvah of Tenufa. Amar Rav Yehuda v'alom en ha-Torah hu aser. So Rav Yehuda looks at Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, not literally, but here's the position of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai and says, what is he talking about? Right, as a takana de rabbanan, we're going to wait until the day is over. Min haTorah, you have to wait until the day is over. V'alo min haTorah u'asur shenemar ad etzem hayom hazeh. So you have to wait until the end of the day. Okay, so it sounds like in the Mishnah we have a machlokes between Rav Yochanan Zakkai and Rav Yehuda, where Rav Yochanan, they both agree to the result. The result is you have to wait till the end of the day. Meaning, without the Beis HaMikdash anymore, you got to wait till the end of the day. It's just a question of whether it's at a din de rabbanan, which is Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. I didn't explain why yet. Or according to Rav Yehuda, it's actually din de araisa. Okay, we'll come back. We'll try to iron out that issue, and then the Mishnah takes us back to the beginning. So, in terms of when we had a Beis HaMikdash, why midday becomes the magic time of day? Because by midday already, we can be rest assured, Ain Beis Din Mezatzlin, the Beis Din is not lazy. It's interesting, the Mishnah points to Beis Din. Beis Din is not lazy. It's not really a function of Beis Din, it's really a function of Kohanim. Okay. So if somebody may have a suggestion in terms of why the Mishnah says Beis Din and not Kohanim, I'm open, I'm receptive. We start with the Gemara. Rav Shmuel Darmi Tavai, Bizman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayem, Omer Matir. Bizman Shein Beis HaMikdash Kayem, Heir HaMizrach Matir. Okay. We start off with the opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel say, look, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, the matir, the trigger, is the Omer, is the carbon Omer. Like Kipshuto, as we have been saying throughout, as I said in the back of the Mishnah, that really is a simple pshat. The Omer is the matir. And when there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, so Heir Mizrach matir. When there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, which has been our situation now for 2,000 years, the Heir Mizrach, the rising of the sun, maybe even before that point in time, right? We'll call it dawn. But the moment that daybreak comes on the morning of the 16th, that's the matir. My time atrei kreik siva. It's based on the fact that there are two psukim. Ksiv ad haviachem, uksiv ad etzem hayom hazeh. One pasuk describes ad haviachem until you actually bring it. Okay, good. That's talking about the carbon omer. Another pasuk says ad etzem hayom hazeh, until the day. So, which one? So, haketzah kamitz manchem beis hamikdash kayam. So Rav and Shmuel say, we'll resolve the discrepancy really easy. The real easy resolution is, depends whether or not we have or we don't have an Omer. If we have an Omer, meaning we have a Beis HaMikdash and we have a carbon Omer, the Omer is the Matir. When there is no Beis HaMikdash and there is no Omer, the day is the Matir. But the day meaning daybreak, the moment that the sun rises. Okay. Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Dami Tavayu. Now, we are introducing ourselves to the opinion of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and they take, and we've seen this opinion in the very beginning of the Masechta, I don't know if we remember, but they take a very unconventional approach, which is, Afilu Bezman Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam, Heir Mizrach Matir. That even when there is a Beis HaMikdash, and even when there is a Karban Omer, daybreak is the Matir. There is one Matir, and that's daybreak. And it's not the carbon omer. Now the Gemara is going to ask some of the most obvious questions against Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So v'haksev ad aviachem. So question number one. Is the pasuk in Chumash, right? Not often do we just use a pasuk to ask the most obvious questions, but here we have that opportunity. The pasuk says ad aviachem until you bring the omer. Sounds like from the pasuk that the Omer is a matir. So their answer, which you're going to hear a lot of, is la mitzvah. No. The bringing of the Omer is a mitzvah. And the waiting until you bring the Omer, that's also a mitzvah. But
what is it's a mitzvah?
Mitzvah meaning it's the right thing to do. It's the proper thing to do. But in terms of what the matir is, meaning according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, they will not call the Omer a matir. It's a mitzvah. Torah says to bring it, and it's a mitzvah to wait, but it's not a matir. The matir is daybreak. Look, there's no easy way out. It's not conventional. It's not a conventional way to view it. It's not the way we normally view it. Mishikarav ha'omer hutachad. I'm sorry. Okay, so period. Okay, next question. Okay. Now all we're going to do is I'm going to read our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when you bring the Omer, then Chadash becomes Mutter. Okay. Again, such simple questions against Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish and their unconventional approach. So it sounds like from our Mishnah that the Omer is a Matir. In fact, the Mishnah says it. Mishikarav HaOmer Hutter Chadash. Chadash becomes permissible. Miad. Okay, sorry, I can't leave that word out. So the Gemara's answer again is lemitzvah. Okay, it's really not the simple pshat of our Mishnah. Meaning, when the Mishnah uses words like hutar means it becomes permitted. Okay, granted, they must have some misora to this point. Otherwise, it really flies in the face against the simple pshat of our Mishnah. A third question, which again, this is such a simple give and take. It's too simple. There's got to be a lot more going on in this give and take. The next Mishnah, which we're going to, I don't know if we're going to get to this morning, but the next Mishnah says, the Omer is a Matir. The carbon Omer is a Matir. So what are you going to do with that Mishnah? So we all know what Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish is going to do with that mitzvah, with that Mishnah. Le mitzvah. It means, as a mitzvah, you should wait. Right, it's proper. If we were English, we'd understand that a lot more. it's proper. It's proper to wait until the Omer, but the Omer is not really the Matir. Okay. Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, Hitkin Rav Yochanan Zakeh Shei Yom HaNef Kulo Aser. My time. Okay, now we go back to our Mishnah, and now we're going to understand Rav Yochanan Zakeh of our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan Zakeh made a takana that after the destruction of the temple, you have to wait until the entire day of the 16th comes and goes. Then and only then are you allowed to eat the... are you allowed to eat the grain? Okay, what's the reason? Why? So the Gemara explains like this. My timer. Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash V'yom Rishtake Milo Achano Beheir HaMizrach Hashtanami Nechal Hashtanami Nechal. Because look, if, and let's go like Rav and Shmuel, because Rav and Shmuel make things so much easier. According to Rav and Shmuel, no, the truth of the matter is it works according to Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as well. Okay, but look, let's say we went Aliba de Hilchasa, according to the strict letter of the law. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash this year, so we just went through Pesach. Let's say we wake up on the morning of the second day. Now, we live in Chutz Aretz, and our lives are complicated by the fact that we treat the second day like the first day. And believe it or not, we're going to come back to that at the end of this whole sugya. But we live in Eretz Yisrael. We wake up on the second morning of Pesach, and without a Beis HaMikdash, so we're going to run to our cabinets, and we're going to take out the wheat, and we're going to join the morning of. Okay, delicious. Fresh wheat. Okay, next year comes. Now next year we have a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, b'mehera b'yameinu. We should see in our days. So next year comes, and next year we have a Beis HaMikdash. So we're creatures of habit. We're going to go to our cabinets in the morning of, and we're going to take out the grains the morning of, and we're going to say, look, this is how we've been doing it for years. The morning of the second day of Pesach, we've been running to our cabinets, we've taken out the grains, we've enjoyed the grains, we're going to do it again this year. And we're not going to be sensitive to the fact that, wait a second, there's a Beis HaMikdash. Right? And we have to wait until the Hakravas Omer, until the bringing of the Omer. So consequently, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai says, you know what? I'm afraid that we're not going to be prepared for life with the Beis HaMikdash. So you know what? As a takana, what I'm now instituting for all of Klal Yisrael is they have to wait until the end of the day. So that when the next year comes, we're not going to have those early morning hours where we might come to eat it and eat it incorrectly. Okay? That is behind the takana of Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Note, Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai made a couple of takanas after the destruction of the temple. Basically, if you want, you can do a study on it. Everything he was misaken was to remind us of the Beis HaMikdash and to basically get us praying and hoping that the Beis HaMikdash is built. I'll give you one other example, Lulav. Right? One of the takanas of Rav Yochanan Zakkai is that once the temple was destroyed, so we're now going to take lulav for all 7 days. There's only a mitzvah to take lulav day one. Right? And but in the Beis HaMikdash, they took the lulav and esrog for 7 days. So now Rav Yochanan Zakkai says, to remind you of the Beis HaMikdash, we are all in Chutz Aretz going to take, not Chutz Aretz, anywhere. We're all going to take the lulav for 7 days. Okay, so just note, Rav Yochanan Zakkai basically got us ready for life without the Beis HaMikdash, but basically thinking about the Beis HaMikdash at all times. Right. Okay.
Why did the Kohanim do it 7 days when
what
should be doing on the 1 day? What was the reason for that?
No, I just wait. Okay. So Omer Heir Mizrach Matir VeHashadika Omer Omer Matir. Okay. So that the Gemara says that is what is behind Rav Yochanan Ben Zakkai and his takana. Now. So now, according to Rav and Shmuel, we understand everything. Meaning, the whole thing makes perfect sense. Because you're not allowed to eat. If the Beis HaMikdash is around, you're not allowed to eat until the Hakravas HaOmer. So, and it's an Isser. It still remains. Meaning, when you wake up in the morning, and there's a Beis HaMikdash, there is an Isser Gemura. There's a bona fide Isser that you can't eat Chadash. We can't eat Chadash until the Omer is brought. Okay, so you understand the takana of Rav Yochanan Zakkai. But what if you're Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish? Think about it. If you're Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, there's no Isser.
Sunrise.
Sunrise is the Matir. Right. It's proper to wait till the Omer. There's a mitzvah to wait till the Omer, but there's no Isser. So how do you understand Rav Yochanan's not guy? You're making a gzeira for what? Just because of being proper? Now, we're not putting it down, meaning if there's a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah. Mm-hmm. But there's no iser. If you eat grain prior to the bringing of the Omer, you didn't violate an iser. Mm-hmm. So why would Rav Yochanan Zakkai take us through a gzeira de Rabbanan if there really is no iser? Mishum, the Gemara articulates the question. Mishum mitzvah leikum v'legzur? A gzeira is needed when there's no iser. It's just a mitzvah. Again, not to downplay it, but you understand. So, Amar Rav Nachma Yitzchak Rav Yochanan Zakkai Shitas Rav Yehuda Amra Damer Min HaTorah Asur Shenamar Etzam Yamazeh Aritzum Shoyom V'Kasamar Ad V'Ad V'Chlal. So the Gemara says, well, you know what? In defense of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, what I'll say to you is that Rav Yochanan Zakkai is not saying it's the Gzera D'Rabbanan. He's saying it's an Isser Min HaTorah. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, there's an Isser Min HaTorah to eat for the remainder of the day. In fact, he agrees with Rav Yehuda. And now we get to do two things simultaneously. A, we get to understand our Mishnah according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, and B, we also get to understand Rav Yehuda, because the Gemara up until this point in time has not explained the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that there's an Isser Min HaTorah. You're not allowed to eat the new grains until the end of the day. So what's behind Rav Yehuda? The classic, the good old machlokus of Ad versus Ad v'Ad b'chlal. Whenever the Torah says Ad, up until this point in time, right? Does that mean up to or up to and including? You know, everyone on here understands the machlokus, right? I say up to the count of three. Right? Does that mean? Does that mean before I get to three, or does that mean you get three as well? Okay, so that's a machlok. It's ad or ad v'ad bechlal. So Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that's ad v'ad bechlal. When the Torah says ad etzem hayom hazeh, it means until and including this day. All right, that cheats Rav Yehuda. And now what the Gemara is saying, and it's what the Gemara is about to say, it's a big chiddush. Rav Yochanan Zakkai agrees. That means up to and including this day. And that's what's behind Rav Yochanan Zakkai. It's not a gzeira de Rabbanan. It's actually an Isser Torah. So the Gemara says, "Umi several kavasei, I'm if like poligalea." How did you understand the Mishnah? If you read the Mishnah, the Mishnah doesn't sound like there's agreement between Rav Yochanan Zakkai and Rav Yehuda. If anything, just the opposite. It sounds like there's disagreement. Did not. Let's go over the Mishnah. Mishachar beis hamikdash shekim Rav Yochanan Zakkai sheyei yom hanef kol asar. Am Rav Yehuda halom in a Torah who asar dichsev ad etzam hayom hazeh. When it, just Rav Yehuda is responding, he's reacting to Rav Yochanan Zakkai as if to say, "Of course, I don't agree with you. What do you mean takana? It's an issa daraisa." Now, what the Gemara is proposing is, according to defend Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they agree with one another. How are you understanding that? So the Gemara says like this: Rav Yehuda who dekatai. Rav Yehuda was the one who made a mistake. Suffered because he thought Rav Yochanan Zakkai min derabbanan kamar. He thought that Rav Yochanan Zakkai was talking about a din derabbanan. Velohi. And the Gemara says that's not the case. Mid daraisa kamar. He's actually speaking on a daraisa level. Now the Gemara says, how does that fit into the words v'ha'i hitkin ketani? It doesn't really fit into the words. Because the Mishnah says the words hitkin. My hitkin darsh v'hitkin. So when it says hitkin, it means he was doresh, meaning he expounded the pasuk, and he instituted, not a conventional use of the term, but what we'll say over here, he instituted, he instituted based on his drasha. Okay, good. All right, ad kan, we have now basically two approaches to understand how Chadash works. What's the trigger? What transitions us from this grain being Chadash to this grain being Yashan? So when there's a Beis HaMikdash, so you have two possibilities. Either the Omer itself is a Matir, okay, that's one possibility, or according to Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, daybreak is the Matir. Okay, that are your two possibilities.
Sunrise.
Which would be sunrise. Well, let's call it. Okay, I guess. Sounds right. Okay, those are your two possibilities. When there's no longer Beis HaMikdash, so I can give you three possibilities. Okay, possibility number one is that Min HaTorah daybreak is the Matir, and then Midrabanan, Rav Yochanan Zakkai instituted that you have to wait until the night. That's possibility number one.
Noon.
Huh?
No, night.
Night. You have to wait till night. I said noon?
No.
Okay, night. You have to wait till night. That's possibility number one. Possibility number two. Maybe I'm down to two possibilities. Possibility number two is that the whole day is Aser min HaTorah. That we know for sure is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that the whole day is Aser, because he says Ad va'ad bechlal, Ad etzem hayom hazeh, and it could also be Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's position as well. Okay, I do want to do a little bit more, but I guess we'll wait till tomorrow. The question we're going to start with tomorrow is such a simple question. What do we do in Bavel? Or in Boca? Well, right? It's been now for a couple hundred years that what we do basically is we ignore the Isser of Chadash. But if we didn't ignore, what do we do in Bavel where we treat the second day of Pesach like the first day of Pesach? Right? So when do we allow ourselves to start eating the new grain? Or more accurately, to better phrase the question, when do we assume that the new grain now becomes old? Now we have stuff as fake as the Yuma. Okay? We'll start with that question tomorrow that the Omarim deal with, and we'll continue tomorrow. Okay.